Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. I think we're struggling to get hold of Mr. Sibanda. But I thought he was on the line. It doesn't look like that. It actually looks like it definitely is not available. But to speak to us at this moment, yeah, it does but definitely look like that. Mr. Sibanda, how are you?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well.
Lovely. We've been struggling to get hold of you. Are you okay?
I'm good. I'm just battling with network. I'm not too sure whether we're going to be able to there's a problem with the network on our side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so I can hear you for now, so I think let's try and go with it. I do hope that we're probably going to be able to go through with it, because I can hear you clearly.
Great. Let's see what we can do.
Right. You know, we're talking about the involuntary rehab commitment, and we're hoping that we would have spoken to you about this a couple of weeks ago. Now, it is common for most people who are struggling with addiction to be in denial. Most of them think they are in control of the situation, but the truth is they are being controlled by their substance of choice, and this results in many people feeling helpless when they witness someone they love suffer from this disease, as it were, but are reluctant to seek help. Now, if you know someone out there that you care for who is addicted to drugs or alcohol but not willing to get help voluntarily, there's good news. We're going to be talking to this with Mr. Siban. Now, Mnumzan, what are the pros and cons of involuntary admission?
Zama, there's a number of advantages and disadvantages in relation to involuntary admission to rehab. Now, one of the major pros is that it is a life-saving intervention. Involuntary admission can provide urgent treatment to individuals who are in danger or a danger to themselves, obviously due to substance abuse, and it can potentially save their lives. It also provides access to treatment. Obviously, if one is unwilling or unable to seek medical intervention themselves, it gives them that access to treatment. It is also potentially, it has positive outcomes in the sense that at the end of the rehabilitation process, a person who was unwilling to get rehabilitation eventually gets rehabilitated, and they are motivated. Their lives change, and may achieve long-term recovery. Also, one of the advantages is that it decreases harm. It decreases harm not only to the individual, but it decreases harm to society and those around the individuals as well. Mm. You find that people who are generally prone to substance abuse, what they do is they are aggressive, they sort of fight the people around them, they sell stuff, they do quite a lot of things that are negative around the family members, and what they do is they destroy the relationships around them. So it actually decreases harm. In other words, you find that those negative processes that occur around that particular individual no longer occur. And then there are disadvantages, obviously, in relation to that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have to look at ethical and emotional concerns. Mm-hmm. Forcing mm-hmm. someone to get treatment is an infringement of their personal autonomy. Mm-hmm. And it can create feelings of resentment, mistrust towards the people around them. You can face, obviously, potential resistance from the individual. Mm-hmm. They may not want to participate. They may not want to take treatment. And even if they do take treatment, they go back to, you know, whatever it is that they were taking. The effectiveness is short term. Basically, patients who are forced to comply, generally what they do is they risk the potential of relapsing and going back to drugs. Then there are legal procedural complexities, where obviously you have to take into consideration the person's rights, because they've got their own rights. You can't just force them. You have to take them through court processes and all that stuff. And this is emotionally taxing to families and friends who are involved, and who are involved in the court processes, as well as the professionals who are doing the assessments. Now, the legal basis for involuntary treatment in South Africa is contained in Section 33 of the Prevention of Treatment, Prevention of and Treatment for Substance Abuse Act 70 of 2008. This particular statute empowers family members and friends or professionals to initiate compulsory admission of a person who is using substance or is under substance abuse.
Yeah, and my goodness. Now, how can someone obtain that Section 33 court order?
Right. There are a number of steps that one has to follow in securing the Section 33 order. Right. The Section 33 order is initiated, obviously, by a family member, a close friend, or a professional. And that professional or family member, whatever individual is making their application, they submit a sworn affidavit, and they detail the individual's substance abuse and the need for intervention to begin a formal inquiry by the court. Then there's a professional in involvement. An addiction specialist or a social worker evaluates the case, conducts an assessment, and may recommend involuntary admission. Then there comes the legal proceeding. The case is brought before a magistrate court,
right,
where evidence is reviewed to ensure that due process and it protects the rights of the individual as well. And then finally, what is done is a court order is granted, where the court basically orders that that person may be involuntarily taken in for treatment. And the court would issue an involuntary treatment warrant in terms of Section 33.
It's a quite an involved process, I must say that.
Definitely it is.
Definitely, definitely. Now, do you find that people use this a lot?
One of the challenges, obviously, this is generally a growing phenomenon, because people have not been aware of the fact that they can intervene in terms of Section 33, and we find that generally what's happening is this process is growing. You know, people are becoming aware of using this particular process to force their loved ones, obviously, to get the necessary help that they deserve.
And talking about the necessary help that they deserve, does it actually work, the involuntary rehab?
Very, very interesting question. One of the things that I highlighted a little bit earlier on is that the cons of involuntary admission to treatment is that there is a potential for relapsing. Now, it depends on the individual. The individual must really want to get treatment for that individual to be rehabilitated. Otherwise, you're facing a serious challenge
Because I'm expecting that because this is not necessarily voluntary, it's involuntary, that chances of success, really, if a person has not wanted to, maybe very minimal. I suppose the law has to give that provision, not so?
That is true, Zama. One of the things that one needs to take into consideration is that some people are simply under the control of the substance that they're taking. It's not necessarily that they don't want the help. And putting them under involuntary rehabilitation sometimes is a good intervention in that even though they do it and they don't want to do it anymore, once they go into rehab, they tend to find themselves, because remember, there is professional help that is there. They go through counseling, they go through the detoxing and so on and so forth, which is done in such a manner that it respects that person's rights and their dignity. It respects that person's right to privacy. It's done in such a manner that it is respectful to this particular individual. And when they do realize that, around them there's people who care, then it is likely that they might be rehabilitated.
Like the sound of that, actually, because I think that all we want is that those who have unfortunately been in the snare of the enemy should actually find some way, some help, somehow. And if the law is in a position to assist with that, then all the better. Yes, we pray about things, but also let's, get the other processes in place so that we can actually save our loved ones. In closing, what would you then say your last word regarding this to the listeners?
All I can say to the listeners is that don't sit back. If you do find that, you've got a loved one who is struggling with substance abuse, there is this procedure. You can use this procedure. Mm-hmm. You can approach, social workers. You can approach the courts, to get assistance for these particular individuals. There is a scourge of drugs out there. And, what we need to do is to simply show our loved ones that we really care.
Yeah, true that. Well, my brother, thank you so much for joining us, Cindy Sobanda, joining us and talking to us about involuntary, rehab commitment. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you so much, Sama. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.